If you are an overcomer, say amen.
Amen.
If God has delivered you from fear, say amen.
Amen.
If God has given you the victory, say amen.
Amen.
It's very important you say this amen. You know, on Saturday I began to speak. After a while, I wonder where is that from. When I go home, I remember what I was trying to say. When I went into the matter of some people were beaten with salt and all of that. You know, I ended up talking about fear, but fear was not where I was going. But, you know, I was saying, what was I trying to say? Well, later when I finished, I said, oh, I now remembered. And let me just say that briefly. In fact, I said it towards the end of the day, and I said that if you must run up and about for anything, it must be for knowledge. Do you understand? To contact the knowledge of God, to have understanding. I said that when I heard that thing, somebody just woke me up to ask me about it. That he heard that everybody should bathe. You know, things will be changing. Initial one was just bathe and drink small. By the time I finished hearing from two or three different sources, it was bathe before 6 a.m. Someone say, bathe and recite Psalm 23. You know, the whole thing, each person will hear and add his or her own to it. Now, why was I not moved? That's what I was talking about. The Bible says that you will no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It wasn't like God spoke to me and said, Banky, you will hear the rumors of salt. Do not believe a word of it. No. I just heard it and it sounded stupid. Nothing spiritual. Nothing fantastic. It wasn't like after I meditated, my spirit rose. And my spirit said, I will not give in to fear. No. I was sleeping. Somebody woke me up. I said, please, I need clarification. What is the matter? I was called that to prevent Ebola virus from afflicting me or anybody in my family, we should bathe with salt water before... No, it just said, should bathe with salt water and drink a bit of it. And I just said to the person, that's arrant nonsense. And I closed my eyes and went back to finish the last part of my sleep. You understand? There was an allotted amount of sleep I had for that morning. I had not finished it. All right? Now, it wasn't there was nothing spiritual about it. It was just that is stupid. And that's how life is. Sometimes, you know, when people ask me questions, the kind of answer I give is not like, well, let me go and pray. By virtue of the understanding I have, I say it does not make sense. Just to stir some of you up again. The first time I heard, they said, you have to tithe to prosper. I said, it's senseless. It doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? I have read enough Bible, read enough gospel, heard enough of it. I said, no. The gospel of grace cannot give you a percentage. If you know the weight, go and check the New Testament. New Testament, they will not tell you how many times to pray. They won't. How many souls to win? They won't. If you have said that you must give regularly, I will have reasoned a bit with you. But just put a percentage to it. I said, that is not New Testament reasoning. It's just common sense. If you go and check it, there is nothing mechanical in Christianity that gets results. Nothing. Anything you can list for God, it doesn't work. The only thing that works is a spirit. Are you getting my point? That's why he said, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The first time I heard that thing was in 1988, 89. I said, this does not tie. Everybody said it. People insisted upon it. I kept on studying. Finally, by virtue of plenty of studies, I said, yes, I said it from the beginning. It didn't make sense. People say, God spoke to me. You didn't hear him well. No, I'm not kidding. I know, let me know. They are credible. Look, one day, one of the most credible men of God I've ever listened to, his name is Kenneth E. Hagin. Do you understand? When I say credible, credibility has to do with integrity, you understand? The spirit of a man, all of that. Doesn't mean he's accurate in everything. Once he said something, which is why I'm referring to him, He said, the Lord said this to me. I always said that he said this, but I realized I was adding to what he said. Did you give a point? Let me give an example. Because he was a prophet, a real prophet. Prophet of, not your uncle is the one chasing your father, and your father has retaliated against your auntie, and the whole family is fighting each other. That's why you're not making progress. That one is a lie. That's another thing. You say that, is this prophet real? Is this prophet fake? I said, well, is he fake? Is he real? I don't know. What does he do? They say, if you go and see, he will pray for you. He will know who is pursuing you. I said, the man is a joker. So, when I hear the thought of those prophets, I just, I'm not talking about those kind of joker prophets, all right? Again, the same principle is there. I just understand that those things don't make sense. In Christianity, no man can pursue you. Pastor Bank, you don't know there are enemies. Who said there are no enemies? What I just say is Psalm 23 says that he prepares the table before me in the presence of those enemies. All right? They are not powerful enough to stop what God wants to do in my life. I can't be pursuing them about. I leave that job for God. I ensure that my heart is right with my God and I'm walking in a manner pleasing to him. And Jotham became great. He became mighty because he ordered his steps before the Lord his God, not because he ensured that all his enemies were taken care of. Are you getting my point? That just waiting. So back to the matter of that prophet. So the man of God, so he used to narrate a lot of those experiences he had with God. And so sometimes, now this is not very serious, but I won't even tell you the one that he said. But he said, one day I heard him talk, he said, I used to say the Lord did this. He said, I now realized that I'm not sure he did that. My eyes were closed. But I've always narrated, and a lot of people will have, as an example, built doctrines on the fact that he was a vision. He was a vision. Are you getting my point? But the man said, oh, I narrated it. And sometimes, I'm doing a lot of messages now again, and he said, there is this part of this I never mentioned. Then you add that one to it. You now say, I said that there must be something else, because no matter the vision you see, it must tie with the written word of God. If it doesn't tie with it, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And the fact that God told you something doesn't mean you can't add to it. Some people that said they went to hellfire, I don't know whether they really went there. Are you getting my point? But whatever you are telling us is a lie. Did you go to hellfire? It's your personal problem. In fact, you know, I was amazed recently. Not really amazed. I appreciate what he said. You know, how many of you know W.F. Kumi? Pastor W.F. Kumi is the pastor of Deeper Life. Now, when you hear that kind of doctrine, you would have thought that Deeper Life people will like it. You will have thought that he's somebody that will say, okay, their church, we kind of like that kind of preaching. But the man actually released a statement warning their people not to watch the video. I was surprised. One of the people, all right, was in my house on Sunday visiting us. So we're just talking about it. He said the man warned members of Deeper Life Bible Church to please keep away from that video. That anything it is saying, if it is true, the Bible should have said it. He said, I've told you, follow me, you'll be safe. You know, I've been telling you. That's just a joke. Anyway, but the man, that is, when I heard it, I said, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm not the one that said it, it's Pastor Kumi that said it. People are not serious. Because, I mean, suddenly, it's suddenly more credible because you will realize that the kind of thing say, don't wear earring, don't wear jewelry. Pastor Kumi said, na lie. This is not why God, he didn't say this now, I'm the one saying it, all right? But what he said is that, the members of the church should please not watch the video. That there's nothing the video will tell them that the word of God cannot tell them. I say, good. I don't care the vision you saw. If it does not align with the reasoning from the scriptures that we have, I am not interested. You know, I was discussing with my mother today. Something led to it. No, we're talking about churches, all right? Anglican church, you know. In fact, we're talking about the Anglicans. I was just telling her that as far as I am concerned, if you're an Anglican, don't feel too happy. Don't say that here. As an Anglican, say we are good people. That's not the aim. There's something I'm trying to do. I said, overall, put everything together. As of today, 2014, in Eastern Nigeria, I don't know about Northern Nigeria. I don't know about Western Nigeria. You understand? I don't know about South. This is where I live. I live in Enugu, and I have a lot of movement around this district. I said, they are the church I trust the most. It's my personal opinion. You can disagree. Pentecostal, so you understand? Everything, whatever it is. I said, the church that I can beat my chest, I said, somebody, go there, don't worry, you're likely to be safe. It's my opinion. You have your own opinion. You can decide your own is Dominion City. Do you understand my point? I have my reasons. You can decide that your own, as far as you are concerned, the best church to go to is the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I've not come to quarrel with it. That's what you think. I have my own thought processes, and I have my reasons. I'm not discussing it. So, my mother is a Catholic, all right? So, discussion now went, we're not analyzing things that happen. And one of my reasons why I said is that, for example, the Anglican Church is a big church, as you all know. You understand? Yet, I have preached, if you pick one particular denomination, I personally have preached in more than any other one, is the Anglican Church. Most places I go to, the bishop is meeting me for the first time. Oh, you are the pastor, you are welcome. And I will stand in front of the pulpit and preach to all the hundreds of people that gathered on that Sunday. I'm the big man there seeing me for the first time. So my mother said, ah, a Catholic will never do that. I said, I know. Why do you think I don't follow you? No, I didn't say it like that. You know, I'm just adding it to it now because you are listening. So, you know, so we're analyzing it. You understand my point? You're not saying that, so I was explaining that you get to an Anglican church as an example, that there are different groups of people there. The youth fellowships, they can have two different ones, and some of them looking like this, the other one looking like that, and it's like, look, we're all people of God, let's just interact. I said that same movement, something like that, started in the Catholic Church long ago, and they drove everybody out, kicked everybody out of the place. I was there, all right, so I know what I'm telling you. So we're analyzing those kind of things. In a sense, it's because those people refuse to say rosary. I said, they didn't say rosary. It's rosary in your Bible. I said, is it not a few hundred years ago that you people started that thing? And she said, yes, it's true. There are some people who saw vision. I said, you see what I'm telling you? That one family showed up one day, and other Mother Mary or one of the messengers she sent, all right, gave somebody a rosary. And then I said, you see what the issue is? Anybody would just show up with one vision. This is where I'm going. That's why I started it. And then everybody just grab it. I said, even if you wanted to believe, you should have made it free. If you like it, take it. Let everybody stick with the scriptures. And for those who want to be counting beads before they can pray, let them go to that side. Those of you who don't want to, you go to this other side. At the end of the day, we worship the Lord and go home. I said, but you people said no. I said, that is where the wahala started from. Now, why did I go into that? Because you see, stability comes from understanding. Are you getting my point? If you understand the word of God, it is not, you know, you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's why, look, there are some of the things I believe, you understand? They are extremely not popular. That is, you go through 20 famous ministers, 19 will say one thing. I'm only in agreement with the second person. With the last person, who differs from other people. And I say, doesn't mean you know what they don't know. Why they don't know it, I don't know. But before you and I start quarreling, let me bring my Bible and show you. Some of the things I say is not, you know, like, I have a word of what they call the word of faith. That's my background. That's why you hear me quote Kenneth Hagin a lot, T.W. Kenyon, people like that. That's how we're taught in university. But there are things they say, I just shrug my shoulder and say, okay, that's not so. Why? The scriptures are so clear. Like when they say that God never causes problems, I say it's a lie. The Bible says, I, the Lord, am about to devise evil against these people. Is that not in the Bible? They say, no, it only means allow. I say, I have checked more than 20 translations. Nobody seems to know this allow. Yeah, nobody seems to know that God only allows evil. I say it's a lie. God sometimes has a factory in which he devises evil against people. Yes, I mean, that's what it's not just what I think. That's the scriptures. Somebody says that disease is not found in heaven. I say, disease doesn't have to be found in heaven. Disease is absence of ease. Do you understand my point? Yes. So if God wants to create disease, he'll just remove the ease that he gave you, put it in his pocket. I mean, he told his people, when you get to a house, say, peace be upon this house. If they don't listen, collect the peace, put them for pocket, waka come out. Is that not so? So don't give me that logic. That where will God get disease from? He doesn't have to get it from anywhere. He just removes the ease that he put in there. The Bible says he removes his spirit and they expire. So don't give me that logic. That there's no disease in heaven. You know why I gave that illustration is that, so you find out that sometimes It's popular, it's not what we are talking about. People I respect exceedingly. Their statements they make, I just say, sir, this one is not in agreement with the scriptures. So when people want to disagree with something, I always tell them, come, let's examine the scriptures. Let's look at it together. Sometimes people give this argument. Sorry, that's not my message today. I don't know why I'm going to all of this, but let me just, just come in. Let's just let it flow, all right? Sometimes people give this argument. You see, some people say tithing is under the law. Tithing was before the law. I always say, so was animal sacrificing. It is not under the law, it's not our argument now. It was before Christ. Christ becomes a new dividing line. It is not the law. Many things were done before the law. I'm not going to let you hear none of these things. When you have understanding, that's what I'm trying to talk about. Go for understanding so that nobody wake you up at 6 a.m. and say, drink water, put salt inside, cook your children. Why? Ebola virus is coming. That morning when I woke up, I didn't even know what anything. I just woke up. What is it? I said, it's a lie. Don't mind them. And I went back to sleep only to wake up later. I found that half of Nigeria had entered the Atlantic Ocean. You know what I'm saying? Because it's salt water. I said, what? And you know, somebody said something that one of my colleagues said he was shocked that enlightened people. Fear is terrible, though. Is that telling you that just in case? I've told you, just in case. It's not just in case, though. When you take some actions, you are speaking. In the realm of the spirit, you are talking. You are saying, I'm afraid. I am afraid. So that's why sometimes I'll just refuse. Say, no, I'm not doing it. But it won't hurt, I know. But if I do it, I'm making a statement. And that statement I don't want to make. There are statements I refuse to make. Say, it won't hurt. No, you think it won't hurt. In the realm of the spirit, it's hurting you more than you realize. Like the day they said, Pastor, yeah, the boy said, don't wear red. Some people say, well, let's just not wear red. After we were not planning to wear red before, you know, just in case. So you are wearing your suit in the morning, wanting to put a red tie. It does nothing. It's not as if I believe it too. It's just that, let me just not wear the red tie. Just remove the red tie, put a blue one. You see, you have made a statement. When I heard it, I said, well, I wasn't planning to wear red. But now that you have said it, I think I should look for one red and wear it. What's my reason? It's simple. I said there's no sensible reason why anybody would say that. And the man said, I didn't say it. I told him when my mother and I were talking, you are always like this. I said, have you noticed I've never been wrong? All the things you have told me that people said and I told you it's a lie, who was right? Listen, there are 359 ways to go wrong. Only one way to go right. Get my point? Assuming you divide the circle into 360 degrees. There's just one way. 359 ways to go wrong. So if you're always tossing for everything, you will be wrong 359 times. That is why I told you before, if somebody says, come and give a seed to break the ancestral curses. But I've warned you, you better sit down. Because if you get up, you have claimed the curses first. Then when you get there, you put the seed and it can't break it. The curses say, no, I did here. I like that, you know, they break me up. So if you are looking for safety, just sit down. If they say, look, God spoke to me, say, oh God, you didn't hear him well. You know, sometimes people are talking to you, the line is breaking. You've not seen it before. So say to say, say it again. Just assume you have heard it. The man I was telling you about earlier, a credible prophet, can he say something? He said once the Lord was telling him some things. And an evil spirit jumped in between them and began to make noise. He said he never heard the thing that he said during that period because the Lord kept on talking as if nothing was happening. And many times in our lives, God is talking to us two different methods. We are not hearing. Some people tell me that. I say, why are you not doing that? He said, God hasn't told me in my mind. You mean you have not heard it? It's not. He hasn't told you. It's even from you have not heard it. You see, a man that's very broke. Broke like, you know what I'm saying? Broke like broken bottle. Thank you. When somebody comes, said that, somebody said, okay, come and do this work so you can get some money. Say, God has not spoken to me to work. That's all right. I hear you. But if God tells you to come and beg from me, I'll box you. The one I'm telling you really happened. A man was perpetually broke. Every time he sees you, please, sir, there's something I want to do, whether I can get some money from you. Then one day he told me that this man said he can help him get some jobs. And this was an area he has skill in. He said, but God hasn't spoken to me to do that yet. Ah! You know, I like dealing with people that I'm older than and I'm senior to, so I can beat them. But that one was older than me and we're not that close. So I couldn't box him. If it was you now, you told me that kind of thing. When I give it like this, when you hit the floor, Israel, Felix, come, beat this guy for me. When they are finished beating you, you will now sit down. And I said, hey, can we talk now? I said, tell God that since he wasn't telling you, I decided to tell you ahead. That if he doesn't like it, he should come and tell you. And like they say, let your iniquity be upon me. Why? Some things are just common sense. If God didn't say speak to you to go and walk, they shouldn't speak to you to go and beg. Because if you want to disobey God, some kind, you know, everything has level. You know, sin has levels. Some say every sin is the same. Which Bible did you read? Are you one of those that think that every sin is the same? Oh, it's not the same. The Bible didn't say so. John said there is a sin that is unto death, and there is a one that does not kill. Every unrighteousness is sin. But amongst them, some are unto death, and some are not unto death. So, when you want to disobey God also, there are some kinds of disobedience that kills. So if God says, that God has not spoken to you to go and work, but you are hungry, so you go to take a small job. What I'm saying is that if you want to disobey him, it is a lesser sin to quickly use your hand, you understand, to render a small service that is godly and righteous and get some pay. It is more honorable than standing by the roadside, say, oh, God, you see, since I don't know what happened, I just stood down here and then my pocket just developed holes and it fell down, my wallet. You know those stories that stay on the roadside. It doesn't know that bad. Like that man I was telling you about, he was sinning every day, begging from everybody. When one of the people was begging from, offered him what should be offered to a responsible man, he said, God has not spoken to me. I said, how did God speak to you to beg? What's the summary? He didn't have the capacity to hear. Please, that's what I said. Let's not use spirituality to confuse anybody. If you dream dreams that don't make sense, carry it away. I don't want to see it. I have gotten, people have told me instructions before by dreams and, you know, by revelations and stuff like that. And they have gelled. Sometimes they tell you things, you wonder that, why are you bothering? I knew that already, but it's good you have confirmed it. At other times, as fellow is saying it, he said, oh, God, I say inside in a dream, that the dream, in the smoke. As he said, because it's not in alignment with the word of God. Just carry your dreams. And I told you, dreams come from all kinds of things. There's multitude of activities. If you are too tired, you dream they are beating you. All your muscles are weak. You know, and like I told you before, if you are owing everybody, they will pursue your dream. You know, I've been saying that is not a joke. If you are owing people, when you see masquerade in your dream, it's not your grandfather. It is the man that's supplying you things and you are not giving him his money. He's the one that wore the masquerade. Just go next day, pay him if you have the money. And you'll see that all those bad dreams, they will vanish. Some people will tell you that, I'm a single man. Then sometimes, no, they say that once a mysterious woman comes into their sleep to come and have sex with them in their sleep, what do they do about it? I say, go and get married. Have you ever seen any married man tell you that one mysterious woman comes into his dream? No, go and check it. Only single boys have those funny dreams. Go and check it. I said, don't worry, endure it. He won't kill you. You don't need deliverance. Just go and get married. The woman will leave you alone. Everybody said, I have spirit husband. It's because you don't have physical husband. If you have physical husband, spirit husband will leave you alone. Any spirit husband come into my house, I will enter into the dream and kill him there. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. It's not a joke. All this spirit wife is for single boys. Any Christian man that's having spirit wife, get physical wife. That's the deliverance you need. The day you marry physical wife, spirit wife will know that old things have passed away. I've told you. I'm saying this jokingly, but trust me, I'm not joking. I've never seen a married man come to tell me that, you see, inside my dream, married man. They don't do it. That tells that most of those things, it's not spirit. He's go and read Sigmund Freud. It's what a man can't do in physical realm. He starts doing inside his dream. It's in the Bible like that. When a man is too hungry, he goes to sleep. He starts dreaming that he went to Sheraton. He laid a buffet in front of him. He ate crabs. He ate lobsters. He ate all kinds of things. When he finished, now he said, let him just go local. He began to eat pounded yam. And finally, when he woke up, when I was young, I used to dream I was driving. After I bought a car, the dream disappeared. You didn't dream you were driving when you were young? When you grew up and then you could drive, real car came into your hand. All the dreams passed away. Only those who don't go into airplanes dream that they are flying. Those who really fly, they don't dream it. So if you dream you are flying, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, it means something. It means that you will fly. Amen? It means you will fly. Amen? If you dream that you are flying, it's a good thing. It means you will fly. All those lying down at night and you see yourself inside in the sky. You know, those who are on the ground, they can't see far. So God has lifted you up to a high level. So you can see as far as your eyes can see toward the north, the south, the east, and the west. It's a good thing. Why do you want deliverance from it? No, why do you want deliverance from flying? The joker will tell you, means you are a witch. So I like this kind of witchcraft. In fact, Pastor Banky said that we Christians are the original witches. You know that? Yes. If you're a witch, say amen.
Amen.
Are you afraid? Okay, let me fly. Okay, you're not a witch. If you're a senior witch, say amen.
Amen.
I see, I now know why I didn't respond initially. I'm a chief priest of some sort. I don't know that. I have to put up some stuff because the real chief priest, his name is Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? But I'm an assistant chief priest. I declare incantations. I serve blood. You know that?
Yes.
We serve cooked flesh. Raw flesh. The real flesh, the good one. The one that when you eat and you drink the blood, you have life in you.
Mm-hmm.
So when they tell you that you're a witch, say amen. Are you in the coven, original coven? So the high priest there, his name is Jesus Christ. The things we do, they are secrets. It's only for the initiated. How are you initiated? By believing in the first begotten Son of God. Jesus who came and died for us. When you believe in him, you are initiated. All things pass away. You forsake the former life. You accept the cultic life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The life of the cult. Say, where are your incantations? They haven't shown it to you. This is the book of the incantations of the Lord. You open the Bible. Say, but if your eyes are not yet open, you can't see the things. So all you'll just be seeing is that, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat, Joseph and his brethren, and Judah begat. That's all you'll be seeing. But those of us that our eyes are open, when we hear Abraham, we pause. And we say, the blessings of Abraham. We know we are connected. We know we are connected. This is our ancestor by faith. Oh God, we are not connected to any curse. Just by saying Abraham, they've not said anything. No. Begat Isaac. Oh God, child. What's the meaning of Isaac? Laughter. It means that even though it appears like the days have passed, yet the day of laughter is coming. You see, these are how cultic people read things. But common people just read Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Israel. Yes, sir. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Really? So next time they tell you you're a witch, say amen. You are the senior, not the common witch. You drink the real blood, pure blood of Christ. And you drink it regularly, both spiritually and physically. When I say physically now, sometimes we gather together and we break bread as children of God. We serve the wine and say, do this in remembrance of me. That is true. Witchcraft. That is the original cultism. Are you getting my point? That's the real cult. Any other cult is inferior. Those ones will lead you to hellfire. This one, you will do it on the earth and still go to heaven. In fact, it's a heavenly cult. So after a while, after you have served out the purpose of God in your life on this earth, they suck you back to where you came from. That is the real cult. If you're in that cult, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It is well with you. The Lord is good. Now, why did I get into all this talk this afternoon? I just want to bring out the issue that, listen, people of God, we must always go for understanding. It gives us stability in life, and by it, we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let me just say something. There's one mistake Christians make. I just felt like dropping that, and I go into my message for this evening. There's one mistake that Christians make when talking about this stability thing. They think that you can only listen to somebody that you agree with 100%. Just like dropping that. But it's not so. It's not so. I'm one person, in fact, in my house in the last few weeks, if you enter my bedroom, you think we are not sleeping. That's my wife and I. Because a lot of times, a message is playing. Because these days we play it on the tab, you know. You start a message, then you fall asleep. But yesterday night, when I wanted to start playing the message, maybe my wife will want to sleep. So I reduced the volume and I kept under my pillow. Then I laid down on it. So it was soaking through the pillow into my head. And after a while, I fell asleep too. Then later on, I realized that my wife wanted to hear it. She had woken up. I increased the volume when I woke up again. And because this machine, they keep on playing. It can play from night till morning like that. I listen to messages, different ones. I have never heard a man that I agreed with 100%. Not because they are wrong. I may be the one that's wrong. Are you getting my point? So let's get that one clear. I'm not trying to say, you see, I know more than all of them. I didn't say so. Please, I'm not mad. Are you getting my point? Yes, I know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say that you can disagree with people. Once they have the right spirit, you know how to filter out some things. And sometimes what you are disagreeing with by letter, the spirit is actually the same. You understand my point? And if somebody is, like now, I was listening to one man here this morning, and he said that he doesn't pray for the sick. He has never prayed for the sick. So I told my wife, I said, look at it. If you hear only that part, you go and say, can you imagine? He doesn't pray for the sick. What he meant was that, I never say to God, Father God, this man is sick, have mercy on him, let him be well. He said, no. I go there and I tell the sickness, get out in the name of Jesus. You be healed now in Jesus' name. That is, I don't make petitions and supplications on behalf of the sick person. I command the sickness to get out and I instruct the person to become well. That was what he meant by don't pray for the sick. Do you understand? Now, if you did not know that, you would have thought the man was saying don't pray for the sick. And therefore, you say, but Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The man said, that was what he said. He didn't say pray for them. He said that lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Talk to the sickness. Talk to the person that the Bible never commanded you to talk to God on behalf of the sick. You see that? But if you didn't hear it properly, just think the man said that he doesn't pray for the sick. That was not what he meant. You need to hear him totally. One day, brother told me that he said that he thought that I said Christians shouldn't give. Can you believe that? That I said Christians should not give. Do you believe that? Do you think I can say that? But that was what he heard. And he had heard it for a long time. It was one day I was not teaching something else. And I said, I thought you, he said, okay, now I understand. I thought you said Christians should not give. I said, me? Moi? I said Christians should not give. Is that possible? It's people like him that pushed me to go and write, so who will pay for this? Because some people, once I said, a Christian cannot give so as to receive, that is not scriptural. If you need something, you go and sow towards it. I said, that's not Bible. That's the modified juju. Yes. I said modified, though. I didn't say real juju. That is real. We take things of the world, things of Islam, and bring it into Christianity. I said, it's not so. You've heard me say it, explain again and again and again. Some people hear it and say, no. Panky said, because as far as they're concerned, usually pastors are the ones that have that problem. In fact, one day somebody said that, did not agree with me initially until now read the book, so we'll pay for this. I told my wife, obviously it's a pastor. Yes, that's a matter of fact. The reason is because the human being thinks that you are telling us we won't get income again. But that's not what I said. And I keep on saying to pastors, if you teach Christians well, they are very generous people. They are very generous people. And believe me, I'm a recipient of their generosity, both as an individual and standing in for Kingdom World Ministries. All the money we spend in Kingdom World Ministries come free of charge. That the people give it gladly with their heart. Christians are good people. If you teach them well, if you teach them the truth, if the Spirit of God is allowed to work in them, they are good people. It's when you put burdens on them that you start wondering. They now start coming with all kinds of methods to bring it out of their pocket. That's where the problem is a lot of times. The fact is this, let me say it again, especially if you're a preacher. Teach simply and truthfully to people. And then you learn to pray to God. Stop looking at human beings for resources. Are you getting my point? The same way the church people need to pray, that's how pastor too needs to pray. Usually, this is how he does it. He motivates people to give freely. And like I keep on saying, there's one prayer you must pray. And what is that prayer? If you're a minister and God calls you to go and preach, that's your own job. And preaching requires money. Moving around requires resources. All these things are needed. What you do, therefore, is pray the Lord of the harvest to send financial laborers into your harvest field. Pray. It's simple. Just ask God, this work I'm going to do, we're going to require a lot of money. Because I don't believe it's godly. It is not right. I'm not saying it's evil, though. It's just that it's not the perfect thing. For me to go and look for some money somewhere else, and then come and use to preach the gospel, I'll do the looking for money and do the preaching. That is recipe for short life. Are you getting my point? Yes, recipe for short life. It is not right. The man who's preaching should not be the one looking for money to sponsor the preaching. It's not right. So what you do is you pray the Lord of the harvest. And listen, understand something. The amount of money you will get as a preacher for your ministry is not tied to the number of people who are there. That's how some people fight for members. Let me say it one more time. The amount of money a ministry will get to do its godly work is not at all tied to the volume of human beings that are there. It's not. And that is one reason why in Kingdom World Ministries here, offering is an announcement. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's an announcement. It's an announcement. And it's just like, okay, please understand that this ministry runs by free will contributions from everybody. So as God lays upon your heart, do your part. You won't hear more than that. The day God decides, that between us and God, we want to spend 1 billion naira to do something, the only thing you will also hear is the same thing you have been hearing. It won't be announced twice. There will be nothing like today, there's a special thing. No. The same announcement. Why? I have come to understand and realize some things. And believe me, it is working and it's going to work some more. Once in a while, I tell my wife, I said, sweetheart, money is coming. She said, do you know? I said, I smelt it. The other day, I got some money. I said, see, did I not warn you? I told you money was coming. I said, you know why? I said, some money came close to me and moved away. I said, it's a 40, so they are showing me that they are coming. As I said, that one, that's not all. More is coming. So just be watching it. I say jokingly, but I really believe it. Why? You ask the Lord for it, and God will supply it. And listen, it works whether you're a preacher or you're not the preacher. The fact that you are 10,000 in your church doesn't mean you'll be financially richer than the church where there are only 200. You can go to the midst of those 200 people, and because the man had prayed a serious prayer, God has sent in 10 dangerously rich creatures. Are you getting my point? Yes, who wear t-shirt and jeans. So when you come in, you don't suspect. You just come with t-shirt and jeans. But there are people that they don't know how to give offering with money. Then they want is a check. And this check is 100 million naira. Yeah, no, it's not supposed to be a joke. People do that. Each time they write a check, it's 100 million. So you go to the church, people say, Abraham, they don't even have anything. You just say, oh, poor church. You don't know you are the one that is poor. Those people, dangerous people. In fact, I see some dangerous people here this evening. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God will cause all grace to abound towards you You will have all sufficiency in all things. You are bound to every good work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A time will come, people will be somewhere shouting, hey, this is a beautiful program. I heard they spent over $100 million. You'll be smiling to yourself. Why? Only you give $100 million for it.
Amen.
It will happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, but that's how God works. God does not require multitudes. When Jesus wanted to feed 5,000, one boy gave the offering. You know that? One boy, one little boy, gave the offering that fed 5,000. And all the traveling Jesus used to do, an account is given of those who gave the money. All the money Judas was stealing, few people were contributing it. That's why you never saw Jesus take an open, you know, they go and do crusade. And that's okay. Right now is offering time, unbelievers doing offering time. You went to preach in a crusade to unbelievers. You shouldn't do offering time. You should do message time, prayer for the sick time, altar call time. After that, go home. Then tell those who God sent with you, all right, our next program is going to be 500 million naira. Guys, you know what to do. And when you get there, so that nobody will say that these preachers, they are looking for money. Look, I think we preachers should learn to gather the whole town in a massive stadium. You sing, you preach, you pray for the sick, you make your altar calls, and then you go home. If you do that enough times, all the small boys, they will be discouraged. What I mean by that, those who are coming there to come and steal, they will have nobody to copy. Because when they come out, when they want to start, people will say, why is he doing like this? The big man that came there, they didn't take offering. Why is he taking offering? He must be fake. They will tell him he must be fake. You go and find another job to do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's get that point very clear. If you're a preacher, listen to this. You don't try to build a large congregation because you have more money. I got those kind of counsels those days. When I started out at Kingdom of Holy Mysteries, people told me that you should start a church. You should go make sure on Sundays. I said, why? He said, that way you will have enough money to do the work of God. You know, there are things you hear. Like I told you at the beginning, I said, yes, a lie. It's not in accordance with the will of God. It's not right. It is most certainly not right. We cannot, listen, we cannot gather people for what we are going to get out of them. As a preacher, you are supposed to gather people only for one reason, for the spirit you are going to pour into them. Paul said, I desired to come and visit you so I might impart some spiritual gifts unto you. That was why I was coming. I wanted to come, but things were rough. So I said, let me write you a letter. That's what I wrote in the book to the Romans. I desire to come to you that I might impart some spiritual gifts unto you. That's what he was saying to them. I will come to the house. Was he going to impart it? He was going to talk to them. Faith comes by hearing. They will hear and hear. And if necessary, he will lay hands on some people and then he will go. That was the only thing he wanted. Dear preacher, listen, it is wrong to do a program so you get money. It is a sin. We know these things because we have studied the word of God. I was saying something earlier. That's why I went into that again. All right? Now listen. You don't have to agree with somebody 100%. You can still be blessed by the person. Pastor Kumi is coming on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I plan to go there. I'm going to go there. And I'm not good. It's not a joke. I'm really serious. I'm going to sit down with my tab to go and take notes. We preach the gospel for decades. But how can you sit down there and one spiritual gift no go drop? Something must drop. It's out on Friday, right? Friday, Saturday morning, I won't be able to go in the evening. But I will try and make at least one or two sessions. So it will be that Pastor Kumi came to town and I sat there and some spiritual gifts dropped. There are some anointings that God wants to distribute. Yes, and spiritual things are interesting. There are things that God does, all right? You'll be surprised how he does them, you know? Like Ken Hagin used to say something those days. He said there are some things he used to do. He doesn't do them anymore. That some of his men working with him, they've carried the thing away. That is an anointing he had, maybe a particular way of ministering. Find the thing doesn't flow again. He now found one of the boys with him, that the man is not the one doing it. So the thing has fallen off, and that guy has collected it, and he has gone with it. If you listen to Bishop Oyedepo a lot, he will tell you there was a time he went to go and listen to Kenneth Hagin preach. And while sitting down there, an anointing fell from there to him. It's a matter of fact. One of our brothers those days in school, you know how he gave his life to Christ? He went for a WF Kumi meeting in Lagos. W.F. Kumi gave one word of knowledge that was, you know, not a word of knowledge. I'm not talking about familiar spirit. Your uncle is pursuing you. That's not what I mean. He told me a short story of his life for him. That young man, you need to give your life to Christ now. The boy said, no, be me. The man stopped again. He said some more things about his life. The guy refused to get up. Leave him. The man spoke some after. I said, look, I'm going to call your name. Before you announce to everybody, at least. I'm not kidding about it. Before you announce to everybody, the guy, at least now they will see my face. They won't know who it is. He got up and quickly ran forward. I'm not kidding. You know, people don't know how things start. They don't follow that. People like, they don't wear earrings, they don't wear trousers. That was no. If that was all he was doing, nobody will follow him. Nobody. Nobody. It was serious teaching. Serious demonstration of the Spirit. Healing of the sick. Working of miracles. That's how I began from. Oh, all you know them for now is they're not the perforated earring. Yeah. A new generation, you know, has been added. The original one, forget. Of course, those things were there, but that was not the fact. You think God would build a congregation with his spirit on, don't wear earring? You know what they call earring? That is Nigerian name for earrings. Earring. No, that's not what it was built upon. Now, why did I say that? So, he and I may disagree a bit on some of those things, but the core substance is different. Do you understand? It's different. So, when he's coming to town weekend, I'm going to go there. I'm going to sit down there. I said that if he were, he won't say it anyway. I've heard him preach many times. He doesn't say those things. And that's, by the way, if you are following some men of God, be careful, though. If you are somebody like Bishop Oedipo, if you are calling him, the man is a very wise man. Some people followed him there. You know, have you ever seen him wear a robe? Say, Bishop, you know, wear a robe, wear a cap. Have you ever seen him with it? He used to wear it. You won't know. He left those things behind. Some people are still there. The man left those things behind. Some people are still there. These Pentecostals who followed it. Ah, he said, Bishop, leave the man. The title Bishop for him is just a name. The man is building universities all over the place. They are still there wearing robe. All those red things you hang around the neck like you want to commit suicide. He had it too. I'm telling you the truth. But the man has... Oh, God, I love that man. Eh? I love him very seriously. I love him very... You can see him talking something vehemently today. The day he reads the scriptures, and he doesn't think he's so again. He just leave it there. So small boy will say, Papa said, Papa has left that thing. He has moved closer to the truth of God. He has stayed there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Why did I go into that? Listen, Friday, you too, find your way. Just walk out, go... What do you call it? Yeah, now just go there. One of the evenings, sit down. Hear the word of God. Go there, look for your own chair, sit down. With your notes. Something will drop. And I won't be surprised if the next Saturday my whole life changes. I will be the last person to be surprised. God will just say, there's one small key that's been missing. Go and collect. When I collect it, I add it, bam, suddenly you come. When I do my head like this, eh? You hear crack, 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 crack. Spiritual power. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Why did I go into that? Just trying to say that you don't have to agree with somebody 100%. All right? You don't have to. Before you fellowship with the person. One of the things I hate most about some denominations in our Nigeria today. One of them is very Pentecostal. The other one, there are a few other ones. When they feel they are superior to everybody else, we are the only ones in the church that God created. The rest of you, I don't know where. Once you are like that, once you feel superior to everybody else, I know they follow you. Yes, that's just my attitude. I'll be looking at you, lie. Pretty from a distance, I'll listen to you if you know the word of God. But fellowship, guys, no. I believe very strongly that we are all Christians, therefore we are all children of God, and we should be able to get along even if we don't agree on everything. We should be able to nicely disagree. Say, oh boy, you believe you don't pay first fruits, you won't prosper. Good, fine. I believe that I can eat any fruit I like and give anyone I like. So we just disagreed nicely. Then we'll agree on Holy Spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit, agree on salvation that's in Christ Jesus, agree on second coming of Christ, agree on the fact that we all have a duty to preach the gospel, agree that we should not steal, we should not cheat, we should not do anything that is wrong. We agree on the other, we can still share communion. Why not? When it's time to first fruits, I sit on my chair, you go and do it. So you do your first one. No, that one, don't do it. Don't redeem your first one for any reason. That one, some things you have to be very, very careful. No, jokes are bad. I can disagree with you and fellowship with you, but I will never recommend that anybody does some things. Like one day, somebody said in their church, their guy, what is called, is a high priest. I said, yeah, come. Tell your guy, if he doesn't want to die, he should drop that title. There are titles you don't use. You can call yourself the most exalted bishop. That's your problem. You will sit there like every other person, and you'll be buried in a simple grave like every other person. So it doesn't matter. If you call yourself the most senior apostle, well, if it's just a title, it's okay. Most reverend. You've seen that one? Very most reverend. Right reverend, left reverend, center reverend, whatever. You're bearing your title. But there are names. If you're a preacher, avoid it. They call you high priest. Kneel down there and say, Lord, I'm very sorry. That boy is very stupid. I didn't ask him to call me high priest. Because there's only one high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. There is only one high priest. And his name is Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I'm so sorry I didn't preach at all our message for today. But unfortunately, I have to go. I'm preaching somewhere else. I'm supposed to be there already, Sha, but I'll be there in the next 5 minutes. The Lord is good. I hope I said something that blessed you. I didn't plan it like that, but I'm sure I helped one or two people. Yes, I'm sure I helped one or two people. You will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's rise to our feet. Let's just declare the word of God briefly, and then it's our school of prayer. So it's still just appropriate to do some praying. Let's just give the Lord thanks quickly. Just say, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your for the fact that we have been accepted in Christ Jesus. We thank you because in Christ Jesus we have been set free. Just say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because no evil will befall. Declare concerning your life, no evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Quickly, let's drop a word of blessing for Nigeria again. Say, Lord, have mercy upon this land. Have mercy upon this land. Every negative plan that people will have, we ask, Lord, that the hands be turned back in the name of Jesus. We chase Boko Haram back into the desert, and we throw the spirit of Ebola into the ocean. In the name of Jesus, no evil will befall this nation. Begin to shout it loud. Say, no evil will befall this nation. No plague will come near our dwelling places. Lord, have mercy upon this land. Have mercy upon this land. Say, Lord, it will not be good. You know, there was a time God looked at Jerusalem and he felt sorry when he was destroying the place. Say, Lord, behold a place like Lagos with Ebola virus all over the place. It will not please your heart. And we are asking, Father God, do not let it happen. We ask for a restraint. We ask for your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we turn our voices against that evil. And we speak against it. We say, depart in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Depart in the name of Jesus. We put a boundary in because God, we have received mercy from him. Because of the mercy that we have received from the Lord, we put a boundary against it. So that thus far and not further. The people he has killed as the last. Those that became sick, they become well. Now in the name of Jesus, that is what we receive from the Lord as mercy. And that's what we declare concerning this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's declare it concerning Nigeria like that. Say, Lord, grant us peace. Grant us prosperity. Lord, we receive it from you in the name of Jesus. Then let's pray one prayer. Very important. This is the most important of all the prayers. Say, Lord, help your church. Pour the spirit of truth into it again. Let your word be the central thing that we gather around. It's a simple prayer. For the body of Christ in Nigeria. Pray that prayer.